south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Now, you may have heard tourism is dead. It's a worldwide phenomenon. Airbnbs have bit the dust. Cruise ships are dead in the water. Meanwhile, hotels and all-inclusive resorts are struggling to survive. In no way can they make money or even break even at 50% occupancy. So some, if not most, have closed up, never to recover. However, if you've got the disposable cash and you go on any of the big travel agency sites, you'll find some of the biggest franchise hotels and resorts are offering spectacular deals right now. They have to. It's their last-ditch effort to keep the doors open. So in the interest of getting deep down into the problems of the tourist industry and to have a great boots-on-the-ground story for the show, last week I did an internet search for deals on all-inclusive resorts, and I noticed some of the major outfits were having deals on up to 50% off the regular price. Now, over the years, I've been to lots and lots of all-inclusive hotels and resorts, ranging in price when on sale or when they're running a deal before COVID to around $100 a couple for the Decameron chain of resorts. That's $100 a night. And you longtime listeners have heard me talk about the Decameron Resort many times. It's a very big resort chain in Latin America that started in Colombia. And I think by now they've got over 100 different locations throughout Latin America and a couple in Europe even. And being that it's an exclusively Latin American chain, everything's in Spanish. And you see almost zero gringos and expats there because they don't know about it. And since everything's in Spanish, meaning most all the waitresses, waiters, helpers, staff don't speak English, it's just not marketed to gringos. Though even before this Cove idiot crisis, yep, there are lots of Cove idiots out there. They're everywhere, aren't they? Well, I'm not. I'm no lemming. We can get into that later. Anyway, when they run deals, you're talking about two people all-inclusive, including drinks and everything else, for $100 a couple. Hell, you can't even get a dumpy budget tell up in the States for that. So I've checked a lot of those places out. I've also checked out some of the medium and high-end places, too. And last week I decided to do some checking, knowing that prices are dropping like a stone. And I booked a couple of days at a very high-priced outfit. You know the name, Hard Rock. Yep, just this last week I spent 4 days at an all-inclusive Hard Rock resort for half the normal price. I thought, hey, I got to check this out and see how they're handling this COVIDiot crisis. Why not? Now, I've been to the all-inclusive Hard Rock Towers in Panama City many times, and that place is spectacular. I give it 4.5 out of 5 stars, and almost nothing, no matter what you pay, in my book, gets 5 stars. So I thought, hey, I'll go to a Hard Rock resort for just a few bucks more than what it would have cost me to go to one of those 2.5-star Decameron resorts. And being that I stayed in quite a few Hard Rock hotels, especially the one in Panama, my expectations were very high. And man, was I disappointed. In fact, I'll never go back there again. But first, on a positive note, you longtime listeners have heard me whine and complain about the state of Latin rock and especially reggaeton, with those mind-numbing, retarded rhythms you hear everywhere throughout Latin America, those throbbing beats and awful, macho, sexist videos, with those second-grade lyrics that don't even rhyme, booming out of houses, buses, taxis, cars, and every cafe and mall. You just can't avoid it. And you know, to us expats and gringos, it's one of the few truly negative things about Latin America you just can't change. You really do have to learn how to turn it off or it'll drive you nuts. Well, the good news is I finally found a place in Latin America where you're not bombarded with that shit. Wouldn't you know it, the Hard Rock Resort and Hotel chains. Why? Because the theme is American and British rock and roll. If you've ever been to one of those places, as soon as you walk through the door, you're bombarded with classic rock and roll. It's everywhere. And as you walk through the lobbies, restaurants, pool areas, and on the beach, nothing but good old American and British rock and roll. So for all you gringos and expats out there, who just can't stomach the reggaeton or aren't able to somehow turn it off in your head, those Hard Rock hotels and resorts are a real oasis of good and excellent music, and not the mind-numbing beats and vocalizations you hear everywhere else, vomited from gold-tooth prison tat morons. And I mean that in the most forgiving Christian way, of course. You got that, Captain Mango? Bring him up, because if there's one gringo expat I know who really loves his rock and roll served up in the proper manner, and who's all for eliminating reggaeton from the face of the earth, that would be Captain Mango. Hey, I'm with him 100%, but I'm just not that vocal about it. Except for right now. All right, so first off, when I pull into the place, all the porters and greeters are masked up, with a little girl squirting that mucus gel on the hands of everyone who enters, except me. I wouldn't have it. Oh, and then to the right, there was a big table full of gloves and masks, hand wipes, and all the COVIDiot paraphernalia we've been told are necessary for all the good little sheep. Then from there, you walk into the big lobby to check in. The counter is blocked off with a giant piece of plexiglass, and every worker behind the counter is wearing a mask, making it almost impossible to communicate because you just can't hear the people. It's too muffled. So about every fifth word is, what? Excuse me? Disculpame? And you end up repeating yourself about six times. But all the people checking in and checking out, loitering around, aren't wearing masks, even though there are signs everywhere leading out of the place that say a mask is required beyond this point. Yet when you walk beyond those points, very few people are wearing masks except the hotel staff, and there's always a few really anal people who are afraid of everything who are wearing masks, face shields, and gloves. You know what I think? If you're really that scared, you should wear a mask over your mask to protect you from the bacteria and viruses that are growing in the humidity of your first mask. Of course, that would justify wearing a mask over your mask over your mask. Well, you get the idea. Oh, and this made me laugh. You go out to any one of the dozen pools, and you've got maybe three quarters of the people having a good old time, just splashing around. But you'd also see six or seven people, young adults, in the pool with their trunks and bikinis on, sporting masks and face shields in the pool. Just a crazy thing to see. Everyone else in the pool splashing around just like before COVID. Then you've got a group of paranoid disease freaks in masks and face shields, huddled together in their little section of the pool, feeling totally protected, safe, and vindicated, whilst wading and splashing in water that countless kids have peed in. Man, ain't humans weird. Oh, and as an extra added attraction at the Hard Rock Pool, you could rent a hookah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Those gigantic vaping machines. So you had groups of people in the pool sucking on a hookah, passing the mouthpiece around to seven or eight other people, even people they just met and don't even know. And then when they get out of the pool to go to their rooms or have dinner, they put their masks on. Now, doesn't that make sense? Aren't humans weird? Oh, and I forgot to mention, of the 1,000 people or so that were staying at that resort, I only ran into one gringo, and he approached me. So why only 2 gringos in 1,000 at that place? It's because gringo tourism is virtually dead, meaning all the other people were locals. So then how'd this lone gringo get in from the States with all those airport restrictions? Though I have to admit, they're slowly being lifted. Well, he told me when he and his wife came through. By the way, he was there on his honeymoon, and when I first met him, he'd only been married for 18 hours. His wife, a pure Latina. I'll tell you the rest of that story later. Anyway, this guy really stood out. He was as white could be, except he was very burned in certain areas of his body. He was a redhead of Irish extraction, so you know how they do in the sun. He and his wife had only been there less than a day, and he was already burnt to a crisp. And of course, we fell into the usual gringos on vacation small talk. He told me he was from Arkansas, and he met his wife in my jammy. And he said when he flew in at the airport, they actually pricked his and his wife's finger to take some blood for a COVID test. They did a saliva swab, too. Then they had to wait around 45 minutes for the results. Longest 45 minutes of his life, he said. Then again, with this COVID-idiot stuff, things are changing day by day, and anything's possible. Then he said, as they were mulling around, he saw a very fat Latino in his young, very surgically enhanced, better half. Actually, she was more like a quarter, and he was 3/4. Anyway, this guy said when they passed through the line at the airport, when the lady tried to prick the big guy's finger, he gave her $100, and she escorted him right out of the place. So palm greasing is alive and well at Latin American airports in the age of COVID. Hey, it is the third world, you know. So anyway, this young American guy, I guess he must have been around 26 or 28 years old. He naturally told me his story. That's what gringos do in foreign countries when they meet. And even though they don't know each other, they always seem to reveal a lot of personal info, especially if you're at a bar having drinks with them. They'll tell you things they might not even tell their friends. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I must have heard 1,000 gringo secrets from people I've only known for 10 minutes or so. If you're down here long enough, it'll happen to you too. Funny thing is, you know, once they give up something really personal to you, you feel obliged to reciprocate and give them a juicy piece of your own story. That's what they expect. I find that's a good time to get creative. Oh, and another thing, with all the airport restrictions and on and off lockdowns in the States, Europe, even Latin America, the effect it's had on this particular Hard Rock Resort is that virtually all the guests are wealthy Latino gringo wannabes. Practically every one of them having been back and forth to Miami because they have money. Practically every one of them showing off their high-end bling, their Rolexes and gold jewelry, real gold jewelry and stuff, their real designer outfits, handbags, etc. Not to mention at the pool, the vast majority of ladies were exhibiting their most recent surgeries, if you know what I mean. Man, I'm telling you, I was in the world of high-rolling gringo wannabes. And boy, did they want to chum up to me, being that I was the only real gringo in the place besides this other guy. In other words, I was smack dab in the middle of a rock and roll world, jam-packed with plastic, fantastic, operated-on women. Every one of them, it seemed, accompanied by her overweight, out-of-shape guy. You could tell a lot of these ladies had so many surgeries, and good ones too, that they surely paid for their plastic surgeon's Porsche. Yet every single one of their guys had a basketball potbelly or worse. I'll tell you, it was a real study in gringo wannabeism. I think if a sociology student spent a week at that place, they'd have more than enough material for a master's thesis on gringo wannabeism. Gringo wannabeism, I have to remember that. Well, just file that alongside the other 10,000 isms in the Neurotics Handbook. Now, other than the fact that all these Latino gringo wannabes wanted to buddy up with me, you know, telling me about their condos in Miami and what schools in the States they're sending their entitled kids to, man, does that get old fast. Now, for me, one of the best things about those all-inclusive packages are the great gigantic buffets 24/7. It doesn't matter if you're on the paleo or keto diet and all you eat is meat, or you're a pure vegan or vegetarian. You never get bored because there's hundreds of items to choose from. But for this case, I've given the Hard Rock a D- for food. Why? Because the Hard Rock Cove idiots in management decided to completely eliminate the buffet. You now have to order from a menu. And guess what? When you walk into one of the restaurants, they won't even give you a menu. It might be contaminated with the dreaded COVID. Instead, you scan a barcode with your smartphone. How do you like reading a menu on the 4-inch screen of your smartphone? Let me tell you, it was more than disappointing. Oh, and how about this? When you walk into your room, and boy, they are beautiful rooms. They're fantastically appointed with giant jacuzzi, double sinks, double shower. Well, get this. When you walk over to the mini bar and open it up, there's nothing in there, nothing, not even a bottle of water. And there's no fruit and snack tray in the room either. This is the first time I've ever been to a resort where they've got nothing in the minibar. It's usually overstocked, and they've got all kinds of fruit munchies on the countertop too. Nope, not anymore. What a disappointment. The cupboards were bare. So how do you get even? Steal the bathrobes and the towels, right? No, that's a thought. So it turns out, if you wanted anything, even water, you had to dial room service. And room service was always busy because everyone was dialing at the same time. And when you finally got through, it took an hour and a half for them to get it to your room. Another revolting experience. Talk about Cove idiots. Being that the theme of the Hard Rock Cafe is music and instruments and guitars and drums, the whole rock and roll thing, you'd notice as you were checking in or checking out at the lobby, they didn't have your standard white or blue mark on the floor saying, "Stand here and maintain your distance." They had, in fact, a guitar sticker on the ground. They were everywhere, with the neck of the guitar measured out and labeled as 1 meter, 39 inches, just slightly more than 3 feet. It was a cutesy way of grabbing your attention so that you stayed 1 meter apart. However, in some lobbies and entrances to restaurants, they'd have not one but two of those guitar stickers on the floor end to end, telling you to stay 2 meters away from the next guy. Tell me, what's wrong with that picture? Why 1 meter social distancing in one place and 2 meters in others? Meanwhile, when you get into the people mover shuttles that take you everywhere throughout the place, to the beach, to the pools, to the restaurants, there was absolutely no social distancing at all. You were just jam-packed ear hole to a hole with the next guy. Then when everyone jumped off, the driver would spray down the seats with disinfectant. I'm sure that helped. What a knucklehead move. Meanwhile, I kept running into my new beet red gringo friend, who always seemed to look like he was in pain. Who, by the way, was in really good shape because he was ex-military. And those guys always seem to be in good shape, at least when they're in their 20s. Anyway, he said, "Johnny, guys like that," and he pointed to a really out-of-shape fat guy with an extremely curvy and beautiful wife. He said, "Have a look at that, Johnny. You know, guys like that take a lot of heat, especially from women up in the States who say, How disgusting, Henry. She's only with him for his money, obviously. Then my new gringo friend said, you know what? They're right. She's with him for the money, and he's with her because she's young, beautiful, and looks like a Sports Illustrated model. What's wrong with that? It's a fair trade. I had to laugh. Because his new wife of about a day was standing right there, and she didn't speak a word of English. She was also a lady who was muy operada. That's Spanish for having had lots of plastic surgeries. Of course, you'll never hear Latino men say that. It's always Latinas, the Latino women, who are on the plain side or don't have the money to get plastic surgery. They'll say, yep, she's beautiful all right, but she's muy operada, implying with a little jealousy and resentment that without the surgery, she'd be unremarkable like the rest of us. I've heard Latinas say that. It truly is a backhanded compliment. Oh, and for your information, here's how it usually goes. I've been told this by many a young Latina. They say, first, you get the boob job. Secondly, you get the lipo, makes your waist very thin. Thirdly, you get the butt done. And after that, the icing on the cake, a nose job. Though I've noticed that most Latinas that say to me they want to get a nose job have very nice noses. But what do I know? I got a pretty good honker myself. Oh, and another thing I've been told by Latinas that many times, after a couple of years, they go back for another liposuction. Because, you know, there's this universal belief, at least here in Latin America, once you've had lipo and your waist is very thin, your fat cells have been removed, then you're just not going to paunch out again. So Latinas who are normally yo-yo dieters figure they can pound down McDonald's, tacos, chicharrones, and mayonesa. Yeah, Latinos and Latinas love mayonnaise. And still keep that hourglass figure. So why bring this up? Because I do get a steady stream of emails from gringos up in the States who have plastic surgery, specifically lipo, on their wish list. Oh, and just one more comment on the subject. When you're down here in Latin America and you see amazing Latinas with gravity-defying bodies, you should never assume that she's rich or her boyfriend or husband is rich, especially if the girl's from Colombia, Argentina, Venezuela, Panama, or the Dominican Republic. Because those are the countries in Latin America that the girls really value a perfect body, which in many cases can only be achieved through plastic surgery. And that's why plastic surgeons in all of those countries have a very, very flexible payment plan. Same thing with orthodontics. It's been a big fad for a couple of years now for ladies of all classes, not men so much, but ladies, to get braces, even if they don't need them. But it's la moda, the fashion. Now, up in the States, you could pay $5,000 to get braces, right? And though down here it might only be $500 to $1,000, dentists and orthodontists have very, very flexible payment plans, stretching out over years. Same thing with plastic surgery. So you should never think a curvy Latina with braces is upper class. The truth is, she might just be working behind a counter at Payless for $300 to $500 a month. It's all about competition between the ladies, and it's fierce. In other words, it's an ongoing beauty pageant, no matter what socioeconomic level a girl happens to be in. Seems like every young lady wants to get operada. I'm not kidding. There's absolutely no stigma against it. Hey, I'm just telling it like it is. Meanwhile, keep those cards and letters coming. Yeah, wow. No cards and letters anymore, huh? That's a lost art. Isn't it funny, though, when you talk to grandmas and great-grandmas, they still send out Christmas cards. I know my ma does. And then, of course, you feel obliged to send one back, don't you? Oh, and how about when the wealthy and upper-middle-class people send out their Christmas cards? They get a professional photographer at the lake house with the kids and the $2,000 pug in front of the warm hearth of the fireplace. One big, happy, dysfunctional family, right? Hey, I've got a sister who does that. But that's old-fashioned. Now we got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and other social media platforms to one-up people and brag on, right? But where was I? Oh, yeah. The story about the lone gringo at the Hard Rock Hotel Resort. Now, like I said, when you're in a foreign country and you run into a gringo, especially off the tourist trail, they spot you out, try to bond, they buy you a drink, and suddenly it's like old home week with someone you never met before. I gotta say, though, you won't be feeling that urge if you speak Spanish, because the whole root, the seed, the germ of why gringos will want to bond to you is because they feel kind of like a fish out of water because they're dying to speak English to someone. Hey, I've been there. The first couple of years I came down to Latin America, and my Spanish was absolutely, well, minus one. And, you know, back then there was no Skype or internet or anything. And the phone calls back to the States were a buck a minute. That means you were starving for someone, anyone, to speak good old first world American English to you. But again, if your Spanish is pretty good, you'll have plenty of people to talk to, even off the gringo tourist trail. You won't have those strong cravings to speak to someone in English. Though I have to admit, and this sounds racist and classist, no matter how good your Spanish is, or how educated a Latino speaking to you, a traveling gringo expat like you and me, one who's been to a lot of places and seen a lot of parts of the world, will have a huge store and breadth of knowledge that no Latino can match. Unless, of course, his parents had dough and sent him to a university up in the States. I've met a few of those, and they can hold their own. But still, and believe me, I'm not saying I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know I'm above average, okay? I'll concede that. But I also know I've met dozens, maybe hundreds of gringos and expats who are smarter than I am. But in all my 30 years down here, I've only met a handful of Latinos who are versed on a vast variety of subjects like the average expat gringo. It's not to say I haven't met really bright Latinos with higher IQs than I have. But still, being smart, having knowledge, and having wisdom, they're all related, but different. In other words, what I'm saying is the average above average gringo, that doesn't sound right, the average above average gringo, can generally talk circles around a smart Latino. Not because the gringo is smarter. He might not be. It's just that he's got a wider range of interests and knowledge. We're just more curious about life in general. The proof of that is I've met a lot of smart Latino engineers who are really good in engineering, but they don't know how to do deep searches on the net or even change a flat tire. But if you show them, they can learn. I'm sure it's a cultural thing how they're brought up. So call me racist, call me classist, say I'm a bad boy. All I'm saying is if you've been down here as long as I have, you notice certain things about the culture and people in general. Hey, you know, that's why they call it the third world, right? So anyway, I'm talking to this 26 or 28-year-old red-as-a-beet gringo who's only been married something like 18 hours. And we got to talking, probably spoke for an hour, sitting in the water in the pool bar. You've seen those things, right? You sit down, there's a bar right in front of you, and your ass is on a little stool below the water. So we exchanged the usual suspect questions, along with the universal gringo question, what do you do for a living? By the way, when you first meet a Latino person, that's not a question he'll normally ask. That's a gringo thing. What Latinos want to know is where are you from? Then they'll tell you about their relatives in the States and their trip to Disneyland or their dream of visiting Disneyland. But for us gringos, especially male gringos, when we meet other people, we say, where do you work, man? And this guy told me he was in the Air Force. He'd done 5 or 6 tours in Afghanistan and the Middle East. Now he's out and is into boat rentals, but the business is dead. Then I noticed he had a huge scar on his arm. And I said, wow, what happened there? He said, shrapnel in Afghanistan. And then he pulled his leg out of the water and showed me another huge scar and a gouge out of his calf. I said, wow, does it bother you? He said, not too much at all. But he said he got addicted to the painkillers the VA doctors gave him. Like I said, when gringos meet gringos, strangers will tell you things. I mean, really, what stranger can you meet for 15 minutes who's going to tell you he's addicted to painkillers? Then he amazed me with the story of how he got injured. He said a 10-year-old kid walked over to their transport and blew himself up and killed 6 of his buddies. He said it was the worst day of his life. He said, to add insult to injury, it was a kid they all knew who sold the guys in the barracks soda and candy and baked goods and comic books. They knew the kid for a long time and liked him, and his parents strapped a bomb to him, gave him the old Allah Akbar. He told me he has a tough time dealing with it psychologically. He was a good kid. It had nothing to do with him. It was his parents. Then, he admitted, the U.S. has no business getting involved in any foreign wars. It's a huge mistake to have troops on the ground in another country. They'll always hate you. In the end, it's only politicians, defense contractors, big pharma, and the bankers who make out whether it's declared war or not. And let me tell you, man, when you hear something like that from a guy who's been through the ringer, I keep thinking I'm so lucky to be living in Latin America. He said all his friends who saw action came back psychologically screwed up. They're on drugs or they drink. He said they've got short fuses and are abusive to their wives and families or just chronically depressed. Though as for him, he said he won the lottery with his new Latina wife. But wouldn't you know it, he said she wants to live in Miami and he wants to live in Latin America. That's the irony of it all. People from third world countries want to pile into the U.S. Meanwhile, the U.S. is the biggest arms producer, warmonger, and boogeyman of them all. Like I said, even smart Latinos don't seem to get it. They still think the U.S. is 4 things. Vegas, Miami, Disneyland, and Hollywood. Meanwhile, if you've been keeping up with the news, there's a 1,000% increase in just the last half year in U.S. persons renouncing their citizenship. It's still not a lot of people, just a few thousand a year, but it's way up over the past years and it's on a logarithmic trajectory. Now, of course, I don't recommend it because then you're pretty much on everyone's shit list and the family back in Cleveland will think you're nuts or even that you're a traitor They'll bring up Uncle Harry, who died in World War II, cousin JJ, who lost his leg in Vietnam, and they'll think that you're abandoning this great country that these guys in your family suffered and fought for. Not to mention you got to pay a hell of a big exit tax now if you want to renounce. And really, for now anyway, unless you're a mega millionaire, it's just not worth it financially or psychologically. Though by all means, get that plan B going. Become an expat and get the hell out of Dodge, but don't give up your citizenship. Just apply for residency in another country, preferably a Latin American country, and wait out the 5 years or so and get the nationality and passport. By the way, you guys have heard of Joe Rogan, right? The Joe Rogan Experience. He's the highest rated YouTuber of all time. He gets well over 1 million views every time he does a podcast, which I think is like 3 times a week. I listen to it sometimes. I don't listen to the sports guys he's got on. That's pretty boring. But he has a lot of scientists and brilliant thinkers on there. I don't know if you know this or not, but it ties into the getting the hell out of Dodge movement. Because Joe Rogan's been living in California for over 20 years now, doing his podcasts there. And he just announced he's moving to Texas. Because, you see, he just got the greatest podcast deal of all time. He's getting $100 million from Spotify to move from YouTube to Spotify. I think that comes up September 1st. Anyway, he's moving because the state of California has the highest personal income tax rate for wealthy earners in the nation. And Texas has no state income tax. Now, get this. The tax rate in California is 12.3% for guys in his income bracket, plus a 1% surcharge on taxable income of $1 million or more. So, simply by him moving from California to Texas, he's going to save $13.3 million just by picking up and leaving. By the way, that's what a lot of gringos and expats who have a plan B and move to Latin America are doing. Ones that live in California now are moving to a state like Texas or Florida for at least a year to establish residency in tax-free states so that when they finally leave to Latin America, they're not stuck paying California state taxes. Because you see, if you're a resident of California, if you don't live in another state for at least a year before you head out to Latin America, that is, establish residency in another state, you still must report and pay state taxes to California for the rest of your life. Ain't that a kick in the teeth? Especially when the feds will automatically exempt from federal taxes the first $107,600 of your foreign earned income as long as you live outside the U.S. for more than a year. Yet California will tax you the rest of your life. Seems like politicians, bureaucrats, the homeless, and illegal aliens are the only ones who want to live in California. They can have it. South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.